This episode of the Daily Observations is sponsored by Rocket Money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and save at rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. Coming down the mountain. This is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Tuesday, the 10th of January, 2023. I am your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Jeff Butts, managing editor of the Mac Observer. Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, you had me for a minute there. It was coming, but you said coming down the mountain, not coming round the mountain.
Yeah, no, you're doing a folk song, and I'm doing Jane's Addiction.
Yeah.
Second part of today's show, we're hitting the slopes. And they are hitting back, and that is causing issues for emergency responders. We got that story coming up in a bit. First, though, a story that I am only doing for one line, to be honest with you. JP Morgan analyst Samik Chatterjee has come out with new findings on iPhone 14 Pro and iPhone 14 Pro Max availability. It's really hard to say that they're new findings, though. We actually heard from Mr. Chatterjee headed into New Year's, I want to say it was the middle of the week between Christmas and New Year's, that he said a majority of SKUs were available for in-store pickup across all geographies, including China, for the first time since the iPhone 14 Pro and iPhone 14 Pro Max launched. Now, if, you know, you've been asleep for 3 months, you might think, well, that's weird. They usually catch up with demand much sooner. And of course they do. There were two things working against them this time, though. First of all, more people seem to be buying the Pro and Pro Max than ever before, or more interested, I should say, in the Pro and Pro Max than ever before, because they couldn't buy them because, here comes thing number two, there were the COVID lockdowns at the iPhone City plant in Zhengzhou, China. First, there were a couple of COVID lockdowns, and there were big COVID lockdowns, and they tried to get everybody to come back, and then they told them they were going to pay them one thing and didn't pay them exactly what they agreed to, or weren't planning to pay them exactly what they agreed to. Although, funny story, those people made such a stink, Foxconn was like, tell you what, we'll go ahead and pay you what we promised you if you'll leave. And so that's actually kind of one of the best deals going, I think.
Yeah, it's like, don't go away mad, just go away.
Yeah, exactly. And here's a lovely parting gift, which is all the money that we promised you to get you to stay. So basically, he had said about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks ago now, I guess, that things were looking great for iPhone. And then Apple 3.0 ran a report from Mr. Chatterjee this week saying things are looking even better. See, I want to choose my words carefully. I was going to say he said that things were even better for iPhone. What he's actually saying is things are even better for iPhone availability.
Right.
According to his latest note, wait times for the Pro and the Pro Max are less than a week. So like if you order them, and I'm assuming this is through Apple, if you order them, your wait time is less than a week in the UK, the US, and China. Lead times are shorter than they were in late September or early October, which is, of course, they had started to shorten a tiny bit, but then we had the whole COVID thing that I was just talking about at the iPhone City plant in Zhengzhou. So wait times now are shorter than they were before the whole COVID meltdown that kind of ruined Apple's Christmas and, you know, probably put a crimp in the Christmas of some consumers out there as well. In-store availability is better than it was a week ago, according to Mr. Chatterjee. Nearly all SKUs of the Pro and Pro Max models are now available for same-day pickup, according to the analyst.
Okay.
Now, my immediate thought is, hey, that's good news. Except then he said, well, there are a couple of reasons that that they're so available. One is, yes, they've gotten everything going again at iPhone City, so that's good. Also, the usual seasonal demand moderation has kicked in.
Right.
In other words, this is the time of year where people don't buy as many iPhones as they do right when the iPhone comes out or over the Christmas holiday. Do you want to guess which part caught my attention?
This is when people aren't buying so many iPhones?
Well, you and I talked repeatedly over the past month or so about whether or not the sales that were being missed by Apple in December were sales deferred or sales lost. To have caught up as quickly as they have, it kind of makes me wonder how many people did spend the Christmas holidays going, oh, I couldn't get the iPhone 14 Pro. I'm going to get something else. And then not come back and get the iPhone 14 Pro, which is not to say that they hopped on some other phone. It is to say, is the Christmas money gone now? Or is the money that we spend going into Christmas gone now? And, you know, people got, I don't know, an Xbox One instead of an iPhone this Christmas or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So are we going to see, you know, maybe an uptick in iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. It's impossible to tell, and Apple's not going to tell us.
Well, you're going to get some indication, though, I think. Unfortunately, you're not going to get that indication anytime soon. The soonest we might be able to get something, of course, Apple does have their earnings call planned for Groundhog Day. And Apple does, of course, have their earnings call planned for Groundhog Day. And Apple does, of course, have their earnings call planned for Groundhog. I'm doing a Groundhog Day joke is what I'm doing. Like the movie. Anyway.
You think you're funny.
I do. Well, I amuse myself anyway. Nothing kinky. So Apple does have their call plan for Groundhog Day. We might get some color around it at that point. But of course, they're going to say things like, we're not, you know, we're talking about last quarter. We're guiding for whatever.
Right.
They're not going to give any hard numbers there. The next time you might get real numbers that you can say, ah, here's what happened, would be at the end of the March quarter when they actually report for that, which means what?
May.
May, yeah. Late April, early May is the first time you're going to hear that. And, you know, at that point, we're going to be so excited about the augmented reality and virtual reality headset that Apple will have just announced at the spring event that we're not going to care about the iPhone. Exactly.
Yeah.
And what will be great is on that call, analysts are going to ask about the AR-VR thing. They're going to say, well, we can't really talk about, you know, all that stuff. And then once they say, okay, well, tell us about the iPhone 14 Pro, Apple's going to be like, but we're really excited about the AR-VR headset. I like your idea, actually, of wondering what's going to happen with the iPhone 15 Pro and Pro Max sales a year from now. Not a year from now, I'm sorry, 9 months from now, I guess.
9 months from now, yeah, because if people did decide, well, you know what, I guess I don't need it that bad, then, you know, when the iPhone 15 is announced, that's when they're going to pick that back up again.
Ooh, but here's a question. Is the iPhone 15 going to have, like, the guts of the iPhone 14 Pro? Or are they going to keep the iPhone 15 where the iPhone 14 is, which is pretty much where the iPhone 13 was, to try to get people to move ahead?
The running rumor is that the iPhone 15 will basically be the internals of and the dynamic island of the 14 Pro and Pro Max if they keep up with the Plus.
Right.
The Pro models will get a titanium frame, periscope camera lens, which could greatly improve your optical zoom without making the camera bump as big as a wallet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the current generation of rumors.
Yeah, I don't know. I was kidding about keeping the iPhone 15 the same as the iPhone 14, which is the same as the iPhone 13. I don't think they could really get away with doing that. But I wonder if, like, the iPhone 15 Pro is going to be leagues ahead of where the iPhone 13 was by the time it's time for people to decide whether or not they're going to go that way. Anyway, mostly I was just excited to hear somebody go, hey, you know, there are two things going on here. It's not just that Foxconn is getting better. It is also that sales are getting worse, which I'm not excited about that part. It's just, you know, as I say, you and I have been talking about that for a month and change.
Yeah.
And it's nice to finally have somebody say, this is factoring in, because now we don't have to wonder. We can just say, well, you know, J.P. Morgan analyst Samik Chatterjee says, so that's worth something.
But how does he know?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind. Hey, in a moment, we're going to take our technology skiing. Want to come? Of course you do.
No.
Not you, them. First, though, a word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money. Are you looking to turn over a new financial leaf in 2023? Say goodbye to last year's outdated, disorganized methods of managing your money and say hello to Rocket Money, a better way to handle your finances in the new year. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as pressing a button. Simply find the subscription you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service or tedious emailing back and forth. Save yourself the hassle and save yourself the money. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. That's rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. Jeff Butz is with us today. He is the managing editor of the Mac Observer, online at macobserver.com. You don't want to go skiing?
I am not strapping 2x4s to my feet and throwing myself down a mountain. Nope.
Okay. How about snowboarding?
Nope.
What about snow machining?
That's a possible.
Yeah. Is it really?
I could get on. Yeah, I could get on board with that.
Yeah, it's the one that offends me the most, honestly. I mean, for sport, I know there are places where you need a snowmobile to actually get from point A to point B, but just the people who go out and, like, you know, disturb the peace and quiet by sitting on top of a motor and trying not to hit trees.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't want to be disturbing someone else's peace, but yeah. Like.
Well, which you are, because you're sitting on top of a V8.
And?
Is it a V8? Might be a V6. I don't know.
Who knows?
So there was a story that came out of Minnesota Public Radio, the inklings of which we heard about over the holiday season. In fact, Jeff and I talked about it. The problem was there were no sources in it. There was nobody cited. There were no statistics, nothing. It was right. Basically there was a police department or an emergency response unit that was kind of annoyed that they were getting false positives from crash detection on iPhones and the latest Apple Watches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we decided not to do that story because it didn't seem to come from anywhere. But now the Minnesota Public Radio story actually does have a few emergency responders and sheriff's departments. Talking about kind of the pain in the backside that crash detection has become for some.
Yeah, the problem comes up with this, you know, when someone's out skiing or snowboarding or, you know, snowmobiling or in better weather riding roller coasters.
Right.
They don't always know that their phone is setting off this alert.
Right.
And so the first responders are getting calls, automated calls from the iPhone 14, the Apple Watch, latest SE and Series 8, mm-hmm. saying, hey, there's been a crash. This person isn't responding. Here's where they're at.
Right.
And the dispatchers try to call back. Either they don't get through or nobody answers. And so they send someone out to see what's going on.
Right.
And that deputy or that first responder or whatever gets there and nobody's there.
Sometimes there's nobody there. Sometimes there's no issue. And you say, well, why can't they ignore it? And it's like, well, because it's an emergency call.
Right.
If you can't confirm that there's nothing wrong, they probably legally, I don't know, but they have to assume that something is wrong. And so they have to send somebody out to the tune of you know, anywhere from 30 minutes, I read in one of these stories, to 4 hours to track down whether or not there was anybody. Thankfully, in most of the cases in the Minnesota Public Radio story, there is no issue, although I say thankfully, but the problem is you do have these, you know, smaller law enforcement agencies spending what is really valuable time tracking down nothing. And their concern is they might be off in the woods looking for somebody who's not even there. In the meantime, there's a crash, you know, closer to town or something like that. They don't have nearly the people they need because they're chasing ghosts out in the wilderness.
Yeah. And, you know, and in response to that, some of these departments that are saying, please turn that feature off when right. you're partaking in these activities. Others are saying, no, go ahead and leave it on, but pay attention.
Right. Dana Wahlberg is the director of Emergency Communication Networks Division for the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, which I'm sure fits nicely on a business card.
Oh, yeah.
She actually says that she wants people to leave it on because she wants people, I shouldn't say she, Dana is male or female. They say they want people to leave it on because they just want people to understand about the technology strapped to their bodies, right? They say right. this is a really good opportunity to provide education to people to help them understand that they purchased a product that has a lot of technology available with it. And with that comes a responsibility to really embrace that technology. Although, you know, with the wind blowing past you at 40 miles an hour on that, you know, double black diamond or whatever the heck you're on, I may understand what my Apple Watch does. I may not know that my Apple Watch is doing it. And though I have not skied much, I know that expecting me to respond to something that I don't even know that's happening in 20 seconds or less or 30 seconds or less isn't always going to be a thing that happens. Now,
right.
I did find it interesting. There was this dude, Brandon Silgjord, because it's a Minnesota name and I have no idea how to actually pronounce it.
Right.
But he is the director of St. Louis County 911, who oversees that county's emergency management division, St. Louis County in Minnesota. And all through this article, he's like, yeah, it's getting to be a pain. I don't like it. And then at the very end of the article, the day after his initial interview, he called the person covering it for Minnesota Public Radio and was basically like, yeah, scratch that, because we got an emergency, a crash detection call that was an actual crash. And so it sounded like he went from, or they went from, yeah, I'm not sure about this, to I'm sure about this. But that leads us back to the problem of like 7 out of the 8 that they talked about in this story are false.
Right. I mean, one of them was even just someone was wearing their Apple Watch and they were shoveling snow.
Right.
And that triggered a crash event.
So let's solve this problem.
So better education is crucial.
Well,
absolutely crucial, I think.
All right.
I think purchasers need to know that if they buy one of these devices, they yeah. need to be prepared for that feature to go off and be attentive to it.
See, and there's the problem. I'm sure everybody who bought it does not actually know that it's a feature, because some people just buy the latest thing, right?
Right. Yep.
But what is the time that you have to respond? Is it 20 seconds or 30 seconds?
I want to say it's 20 seconds.
Okay. So seriously, even on bunny slopes, if you start at the top and go all the way to the bottom, that's going to take more than 20 seconds. And then the first thing you do when you get down to the bottom has to not be, you know, raising your pulse in victory. It has to be, you know, checking to make sure that your watch didn't accidentally call 911.
Well, pump your fist in victory and then look at your watch. I mean,
but you got to take off your glove and then you got to like roll up your sleeve and all that stuff. I'm wondering if people should actually, unless you're cross country skiing, I'm wondering if just like on a regular downhill, maybe people should actually turn them off.
Well, and that's part of the education aspect is to let them know if you're partaking in something like this and there's people around that will see if you get yourself into trouble, then turn it off. And then turn it back on after you're done.
Yeah. There was that dispatcher, though, that we talked about towards the end of last year. I believe she was in Utah. I can't remember where she was like, yeah, you might go off trail and hit a tree and land in a place where nobody will see you. And so, you know, we want you to go ahead and keep calling us. Although I wonder if we checked whether a month into ski season,
how she feels about it now.
If she feels quite as strongly about that. Yeah.
Right. Right. I mean, there are other possibilities, but I don't. You know, you could try to fine-tune the geofencing, but I'll tell you this, you know, snowmobilers are quite often following the same trails and the same roads that cars would be following.
Yeah. Honestly, I like the idea of geofencing for amusement parks.
Yeah,
like
the
whole thing about turning it off, you know, for like a roller coaster or something like that. A tilt-a-whirl, maybe. One of those drop rides. And now I'm just naming amusement park amusements. I like it for that. I don't really like it necessarily for a ski area because of all the reasons that you and I just talked about and that dispatcher sure. talked about as well. What do you think about charges? I know it feels gross.
I can see some benefit to that. I mean, you do in a lot of places see charges if somebody calls 911 for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's their device doing it, I don't know that it would stand up.
Hmm. Really quickly, by the way, going back to Dana Wahlberg, who is that head of 911 in some area, and I've already forgotten mm-hmm. where because we've talked about too many places already. It's not my backyard.
The whole state of Minnesota.
The whole state of Minnesota? Really?
Minnesota Public Safety. Yep.
So Dana Wahlberg does have one suggestion. If you find that your phone or your watch has accidentally called 911, you didn't have time to stop it, and you've already got a dispatcher on the phone, explain to them what happened. Because it goes back to what we talked about earlier. If you just hang up because you're embarrassed, that's fine for you, and you kind of maybe get to be over that embarrassment, except they're going to dispatch people now to try to find you because they couldn't establish from you that there was no emergency.
Right.
So if this happens to you and you do catch it, you know, just say, you know, my bad, or, you know, pull a Han Solo. Everything's under control. Situation's normal.
No.
We're fine down here.
How are you? Yeah.
I knew you'd like that one. Hey, if you have a question or a comment that you want to send our way, send it our way. Our email address is observations@macobserver.com. Let me say it again carefully so that nobody questions whether I did. Observations@macobserver.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We are at TMO Daily there. If you'd like to follow me online, I am at macOSKen on Twitter. You can also visit my website, macOSKen.com. Jeff, please let people know the best ways to follow, find, and get in touch with you online.
Sure. You can find me as at Clefmeister or at MacObserver on Twitter. And you can read my writing on MacObserver.com. If you need to email me, that would be JeffB@MacObserver.com.
Advertising handle by Backbeat Media, online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to how-tos, your source for Apple News is macobserver.com.